Hey everybody. Welcome to the December 12th Santa Ana Water Board meeting. We are here in person and via Zoom, and this meeting is being webcast and recorded. For those who have completed a virtual speaker card for the Zoom meeting, you will be on mute and your camera turned off until it is your turn to speak. The host will then unmute you and ask you to turn on your camera if you have one. When you are done speaking, you will be placed on mute and your camera turned off. You can remain in the Zoom meeting or exit the meeting at that time. For people who, sorry, that was my son texting me from college. I get the applause if anyone heard that. My apologies. For people who only want to listen to or watch the meeting, the board's customary webcast is available. Before we begin, as indicated on the revised agenda issued on December 10th, item 9, our waste discharge requirements for the Green River Ranch Business Park Industrial Project in Riverside County is being postponed to a future meeting. In addition, item 10, order number 2025-0081 is also being postponed, and notice of the new hearing dates will be provided at a later time. At this time, I'd like to ask our board members to please introduce themselves, and I will start with board member Al Lopez to my right.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Al Lopez. I am the former mayor and councilman, City of Corona, and also a longtime board member on the Western Municipal Water District in Riverside County.
Thank you. Board member Gloria Alvarado.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being with us. And I want to say special thanks to our amazing Orange County Sanitation District for hosting us. Thank you to the staff, and thank you for everyone for paying attention. I'm a resident of Santa Ana, and I'm very happy to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Rue, is he on with us remotely? Okay. Yeah, and we hope we send him best wishes. He's not been feeling well. And Vice Chair John Scandura.
Good morning, everybody. Happy holidays, both to everybody who's here present as well as those who are viewing from viewing remotely. My name is John Scandura. I live in nearby Huntington Beach, just down the freeway from here. I'm a longtime Orange County resident. I also went to school here, and then I was born and raised in the Inland Empire. So welcome and forward to our meeting.
Thank you, Vice Chair. And good morning, everyone. My name is Chris Murray. I serve as chair and resident of Anaheim, former councilwoman from 2010 to 2018 in the city of Anaheim. It is my tremendous honor to serve as chair and to work with this incredible board and agency staff. I'm also the proud parent of a college freshman, so forgive me if my phone rings. He's the only person who gets through when it's on silent. With that being said, we'll go ahead and get started with our agenda. This is the point for public forum, and we welcome hearing from the public at this meeting. Any person wishing to speak should have submitted a speaker request. For those items listed on today's agenda, you will make your comments at the time the item is being considered. If you wish to speak on an item that is not on the agenda, you may speak now during the public forum. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Jessica, do we have any speaker cards at this time?
Yes, we have one speaker, Ananda Carr.
Good morning.
There we go. Good morning, Chair Murray, members of the board. My name is Amanda Carr. I'm Deputy Director for OC Environmental Resources with Orange County Public Works and the Orange County Stormwater Program. And I'm so excited that you're here today of all days in Orange County, because today officially is the 25th anniversary of the OC Watersheds Program. So I wanted to bring this milestone to your attention. We were recognized by the Board of Supervisors at their meeting last week celebrating our 25th anniversary. And I just wanted to highlight for you briefly where we've been and where we've come over the last 25 years. Except I think I've lost our slides.
Ms. Carr, we'll extend the time. So
okay.
I don't want you to worry about
it. I will be brief.
Yeah.
It's just going to be.
As soon as we get that back up, we'll make sure you get the time.
Ah, great. Okay. So if you could just go to our next slide, please. So in the year 2000, the Board of Supervisors charged and created a consolidated group within the county to bring together local agencies and non-governmental organizations into partnerships to address water quality issues on a watershed basis. And if you think back to where we were in the year 2000, actually looking at water quality on a watershed basis, which really looked at the geographical boundary of a water body rather than broad political boundaries to address regulatory issues, that really was a cutting edge topic. We had a staff of 25. Our total budget was $3.6 million. And really our program scope was the NPDES permit program, which we have been working on collectively with the 34 cities since the early 1990s, and generally county projects, generally in parks, locations, and things like that. Today, in 2025, we have a staff of 50. Our budget has grown to $21 million annually. $10 million of that is our cost share permit work with our 34 cities, and roughly the other 50% is focused on our OC mitigation program. Our program scope has grown. We're still obviously working very hard on our NPDES permit compliance. We have a 24-hour countywide spill response program. We host two integrated regional water management organizations, the South Orange County IRWM group, which has 22 member agencies, and the North and Central IRWM plan, which we refer to as the OC plan, which has 55 member agencies, both of which have been very successful in securing state funding, which is then leveraged additional water resource investment throughout the county. We have a green infrastructure focused program within the county where we're looking to turn over our gray infrastructure into green infrastructure throughout the county and provide leadership in that area. We have our Adopt a Channel program where we have volunteers similar to, we're all familiar with the Adopt a Highway program. This is focusing and harnessing those volunteer efforts within our flood control channels. And we've hosted and developed several award-winning public education campaigns focused on water quality. So if you go to the next slide, I think a really good visual reference to show you sort of, this serves as a snapshot in time. This was our monitoring effort in 2000. You can see mostly focused around the Newport Bay watershed and along our coast. If you go to the next slide, these are our monitoring stations in 2025. This includes, we have over 1,000 water quality monitoring locations. We have 26 stream gauge locations. We have 82 alert stations, which provide us real-time water level sensor information throughout the county. We have 62 precipitation sensors and 40 water level sensors, which form our comprehensive both water quality and flood warning system. So if you superimpose this level of growth on the rest of our programs, I think that gives you a sense of the resources and focus that we're bringing to bear for water quality within Orange County. I just wanted to share and also to let you know that obviously your staff and your board are very much a part of this growth and this focus, and we appreciate the partnership and look forward to many years in the future. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the incredible work that's being done in the watershed.
Thank you.
All right. Are there any other comment cards at this time?
No, there are not.
Okay. Thank you, Jessica. Moving on to item three. This item is also being postponed today. Our vice chair of the State Water Resources Control Board, Didi Diamo, is unable to join us, so we will hear from her in February. Moving to item four, I'd like to ask at this time, this is the appointment of board members to serve on a committee to nominate a chair and vice chair for the 2026 calendar year. The committee will meet before the February 6th, 2026 meeting to select nominees and will present their nominations at the board meeting on February 6th. And the board will then elect a chair and vice chair at the February meeting. At this time, may I ask a request, board members Alvarado and Lopez, to please serve on that committee? May I nominate you both?
Thank you.
Accept.
Thank you both. Appreciate your service. With that, do we need an approval?
Yes, we should take a vote.
Okay. Then, Jessica, would you please call the vote?
Thornton under Lopez.
Well, before that, could we get a motion?
May I have a motion to approve?
I did not.
Board members Lopez and Alvarado.
I made the motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you.
Thornton under Lopez.
Aye.
Thornton under Alvarado.
Aye.
Vice Chair Scandura.
Aye.
And Chair Nuri.
Aye. Thank you. All right, we'll move on to item five. This is an action item for approval of the meeting minutes of the October 24th, 2025 board meeting. I'd like to request a motion and a second.
Move approval.
We have a second?
Second.
All right, Jessica, would you please call the roll?
Thornton under Lopez.
Aye.
Thornton under Alvarado.
Aye.
Vice Chair Scandura.
Aye.
And Chair Nuri.
Aye, but I do want to ask council, I was not at that meeting. It's my one that I've missed. Am I allowed to vote in support? They looked accurate based on what I know.
Yes, Chair, if you've reviewed the minutes, you're allowed to vote.
That's what I thought. Okay, good. Then aye. All right, moving on to item six. Item six is the consideration of the consent calendar listed as items 7 and 8. For item 8, I want to point out an errata sheet was issued on December 11th and is included today in the board materials. Therefore, the vote for the consent calendar before the board today is for item 8 as presented with the changes shown in the errata sheet and item 7 as presented. At this time, I'd like to ask if there are any interested persons or board member requests to remove a consent item. Seeing none, Jessica, are there any speaker cards on items 7 or 8?
No speaker cards.
Thank you. Any board member comments at this time? Seeing none, then I'd like to request a motion and a second for consideration of the consent calendar.
So move.
Second.
All right.
This is a point of clarification. We'd have to move it with incorporation of the errata sheet. For item 8.
Correct.
Okay.
As amended.
Yes, so then for clarification, was that motion with the changes in the errata sheet on item 8?
Yes. All right. Jessica, please call the roll for the consent calendar, including the changes shown in the errata sheet for item 8.
Thornton under Lopez.
Did we take a vote on that?
We're going to take the vote now.
Oh, that was...
Yeah, with the errata sheet.
Aye. Okay.
Thornton under Alvarado.
Aye.
Vice Chair Scandura.
Aye.
And Chair Nuri.
Aye.
Quick, Board Member Lopez, was your vote... I'm not sure if you announced your vote.
Okay, great. Item 10, as we mentioned earlier, is postponed, so I'll move to item 11, which is our executive officer's report.
Thank you, Chair Murray, members of the board. Happy holidays. December is my favorite month of the year. Yesterday was my birthday, and Christmas is right around the corner, so I'm very pleased to be speaking with you today. I do have a couple of updates that I'd like to share in my executive officer's report. Try to get through them quickly. So I serve on the director's group of the Wetlands Recovery Project in Southern California. The group met on December 4th to consider, among other things, an endorsement for a regional monitoring program. The regional monitoring program's purpose and vision is, the background behind it is it's a collaborative initiative of 18 state and federal agencies intending to track, assess, and promote the recovery and resilience of coastal wetlands in Southern California. The core components of the regional monitoring program are a sentinel site network of 37 sites representing a range of wetland types and conditions in Southern California. The plan came with a recommendation for a monitoring strategy that we hope we can work with our with the regulated community, the public, NGOs, collectively to incorporate that monitoring strategy in our coastal wetlands. And the plan incorporated guidelines for how state and federal regulatory agencies might approach the issue and integrate monitoring of those sentinel sites into our existing permitting plans and programs. And I've instructed staff to review that plan. The plan was approved unanimously by the directors. I've asked staff to review that plan and come up with a plan going forward on how we can meet the challenges laid out in the proposal for implementing that regional monitoring plan. I think it's a very exciting piece of work. It, more than anything else, it ties together many different sources of data and standardizes those data so that they can be used for multiple purposes. And I think that having a robust monitoring network along the coast is really a no-brainer, and I think it aligns well with our mission. I'd like to, since we're talking about the holiday spirit, I'd like to share my New Year's resolution with the board. So a top priority of the board, as we've discussed many times over the last 2 years, is consideration of a regional MS4 permit. That is to say a regional stormwater municipal permit. Issuance of the revised regional MS4 draft permit has been delayed for several months, while Water Board staff have worked with stakeholders to address comments received in 2024. And staff, including our legal staff, have reviewed and analyzed subsequent court decisions related to NPDES permits and how those decisions might apply to stormwater NPDES permits. My update today is to share my resolution that I intend to bring the revised draft permit to the public and release it for comment in January, certainly prior to the next board meeting in February. I anticipate an extended comment period to allow for a thorough review and thoughtful comments on the revisions from all interested stakeholders in the public. You know, we've worked extensively with our stakeholders and members of the public and our interested NGOs as well to revise that permit to something that I think we can all be proud of. So I propose to have a public board workshop in the spring, similar to the workshop we held back in November of 2024, to ensure that the board, the public, and all interested parties are provided ample opportunity to participate in a robust public process for our regional permit. My third update is regarding the El Sobrante landfill in Riverside County. Early this year, we received information that the El Sobrante landfill was possibly experiencing a subsurface elevated temperature event, a SET, S-E-T, SET event. Local, state, and federal agencies formed an interagency group to coordinate compliance and enforcement activities at the landfill. We are one of the members of that task force. And while I won't stray into any sort of compliance and enforcement issues, I do want to give you an update of the status of the situation at the landfill. A subsurface elevated temperature event, or SET event, as I said, occurs when temperatures in the waste mass of a landfill exceed 131 degrees Fahrenheit over a substantial area for a significant period of time. That might seem very specific, but the fact is that there are many causes for elevated temperatures in a landfill, and it's not uncommon at all for lower level temperature elevations to occur simply based on the activity of bacteria in the waste. So it can be a normal operation to have elevated temperatures to a point, but it reaches a point above 131 degrees Fahrenheit where that reaction can become exothermic. That is to say, it's often referred to as a fire. I don't think that that's accurate. It's more of it's a smoldering reaction at depth. And there are indications that such a SET event is occurring at El Sobrante landfill. We and our partner agencies continue to work with the landfill operator to make sure that the situation is under control. There is a plan in place. We're working with the operator to refine that plan and make sure that it is robust and thorough and that we have sufficient oversight over the process to make sure that this doesn't, the SET event doesn't become a threat to public health. The good news is that this SET event is not, at this point, similar to what you may have read in the news about the Chiquita Canyon landfill in the Los Angeles region, which has also had a set event, although the circumstances are much more extreme in that case. As of right now, there are no odors or gas emissions from the set at the El Sobrante landfill. The set event is away from the operating portion of the landfill, and monitoring is ongoing. So I mention it to you now, and I'd be happy to come back and present a more thorough explanation of what a set event is and what the risks and dangers are, but I felt it was important that the board members be aware that this is happening. So the lead agency in our multi-agency group is Cal EPA. We do have participation from US EPA as well, but it's a very far-ranging group, and we meet on a weekly basis to discuss the issue. So overall, while the group is concerned about the set event at the landfill, we do believe at this time that the operator can manage the set event, and we are closely monitoring the situation to ensure that it's handled correctly. That our multi-agency response will be ongoing, and we are committed to being transparent with the community about regular actions at the landfill, including regular meetings with the community around the landfill. The community action group actually met on Wednesday this week, and we were there for that. The last item in my report is: on November 17th of this year, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of the Army, that is to say the Army Corps of Engineers, announced the proposal of updated definition of waters of the United States. The proposed rulemaking was entered into the Federal Register on November 20th, and we are right now in a 45-day comment period that will close on January 5th. At the very least, there is a... Without diving into too much detail, there is a concerted effort by state agencies to meet the comment period and provide comments on this proposed change as it might affect the state of California. The short version of the changes are that because of the Sackett decision that came down from the Supreme Court, the Army Corps and the US EPA are proposing to define what relatively permanent means in a definition of the waters, and the most notable change being that the water body must be flowing year-round or at least through the wet season, and there are definitions of that. There are some other important changes, and I'm happy to provide a link to all of the information, or again come back and present perhaps after the comment period on what those changes are. But the short version is that this will significantly reduce the Army Corps' federal oversight of water bodies within our region. Fortunately, we have the Port of Colon Water Quality Act in California, where we have delegated authority to incorporate the Clean Water Act on state waters. So it'll fall upon our staff and regional boards throughout the state to step up and fill that gap where the Army Corps is pulling back over jurisdiction. We'll exert our jurisdiction over those waters. And I'm confident that we can meet that challenge. But of course, you know, resource concerns are ever present. So once again, I'd like to offer, you know, to come back and provide more information if that's an item of interest. You know, I take your direction on that. So I may have jumped the gun. There is one other thing that I'd like to discuss today, and that's our racial equity action update. I intend to bring a presentation to our next board meeting, along with a presentation of our 2025 accomplishments as a board, and the things that staff have been working on that don't always rise to the level of our meetings here. But I'd also like to provide a racial equity update. You know, as you know, we incorporated a racial equity action plan. This board adopted that plan. We continue to incorporate that plan. We've had successes. We've had challenges. And the bottom line is that we staff continue to devote a significant portion of their time and attention to ensuring that racial equity goals in our resolution are incorporated into our day-to-day activities. first and foremost, you know, the question of whether an activity, whether it be a cleanup site or a landfill site or a recycled water project, a discharge point, a change in discharge from our wastewater, you know, folks. The first step in that is always to go to the Cal Enviro screen and examine what the immediate local impacts might be, what the characteristics of that community are. We don't assume that we know the needs of any one community, and staff have worked very hard to make sure that we incorporate that into all programs. One of the major challenges is that we don't have dedicated funding or you know, we could really use a communications analyst kind of position to help us to do outreach. Outreach continues to be the biggest challenge that we have. We send out fact sheets. We go out into the communities to try to, you know, meet with citizens who may be affected. And it's working to some extent, but it remains a challenge to get the level of engagement that I think that we would like. And it's not the same throughout the watershed. Different communities have different levels of engagement, and that remains a challenge. So all in all, I would like to assure the board that we're making good progress. However, the work isn't done just because we decided that we were going to take a harder look at the issue. So I would like to come back next meeting and provide you with a thorough written and PowerPoint presentation on how we're facing those challenges that I've described. If that's an item of interest, I'm very interested to bring that to you. And that's my report for today.
Thank you, Mr. Lindberg, and happy birthday. I'm also a December baby, so 2 days after Christmas. So I think at least you have a little bit of separation there to celebrate the birthday independently. But we hope it was a very happy one. With that, we'll now move to item 12, which is board member and executive officer communications. I'd like to welcome our board members to please share and discuss any communications, correspondence, or other items of general interest relating to matters within our jurisdiction. This is not a voting item, but I'll start with Board Member Lopez to my right.
Thank you. I would just like to wish everyone a happy and a safe holiday. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Alvarado.
Yes, I'm going to go ahead and follow up with a happy holidays, and I want to especially thank the staff for an amazing job. Thank you for including us in all the planning and all the information, but also maybe to overcome some of those challenges, please also utilize our time and perhaps our talents. I will be more than happy to be involved in the outreach. I think it's important to make sure that every community has the information. Water is life, and I think as we, in the past experience, as we talk to our communities and we provide language equity and we provide connection equity to the information, it has shown to work. And I know it's challenging. I know we want to talk to everyone, and sometimes it's one of the hardest things to do. But please, I am committed to help, and I know my fellow board members are also committed to help. And if there's anything that we can do within our communities and the communities where we live, the communities we represent, we will be more than happy to engage. And with that, congratulations on 25 years of work to the H2OC program. Thank you so much for doing what you do. Continue, please. The growth is amazing. And also count on our support for anything we can do out there. And happy birthday, Eric. Thank you for spending your birthday time and effort providing us, you know, with information to continue with amazing quality of life through our water services. Thank you.
Yes, Vice Chair Scandura.
Sure. And first of all, happy birthday to Eric yesterday, and then happy birthday in advance to Chris, our chair, 2 weeks from tomorrow then. Mm-hmm. So. Anyway, happy birthday and happy holidays to all of our staff. It's been a great to everyone. It's been a great year working with my fellow board members as well as staff that are here in the region, as well as the staff who come down from Sacramento to support us. It's definitely been a very great year, and I'm looking forward to an even better year coming up.
Thank you. I'd just like to again echo our thanks to the Orange County Sanitation District for hosting our meeting today, and just underscore the incredible work, innovative efforts and investment that the Orange County Sanitation District makes in our region to elevate and promote our communities and to provide such incredible service that also improves the quality of life for all the residents in our region. So thank you to them. This is our last meeting of the year. I can't believe it. 2025 is about to come to a close, but I'd be remiss if I didn't thank my colleagues on the board for your incredible service, and also the staff that we get to work with, whose expertise is stretched so thin throughout the year. There's so much you do and so much more that's being pressed down to the local level at the state and federal, from state and federal decisions over the last couple of years. So just want to acknowledge our staff and how hard they work and how committed they are to our region, and also acknowledge and thank our partnering agencies, cities, and our residents throughout the region for your commitment and collaborative engagement with us throughout the year. I wish everyone a very safe, healthy, joyous holiday season. A very happy new year, and we look forward to seeing you in February. With that, I can now adjourn the meeting unless we have any other comments from staff or the board. All right, our next meeting is scheduled for February 6th at the Loma Linda City Council Chambers. Thank you, everybody. Take care.